Our scripture passage this morning is John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. John 12, 1 through 11. If you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who would later betray him, objected. "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used it to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. In the spring of 2022, Emma and I got the opportunity to go and vacation in Portugal and Spain. And a lot of the time while we were there, we spent the majority of it going around and just seeing the different historical sites that Lisbon had to offer and areas around Lisbon, and then in Barcelona and also areas around Barcelona. And one of those main historical spots that we always ran into, it seemed like there was one just about every corner, was an old cathedral or some type of house of worship. And a lot of them you could just kind of walk into and see for free. Other ones you'd have to give like 5 euros to get into it and see. But we spent a lot of our time going around and seeing these old cathedrals, these old places of worship. And I can remember a few of those as we just walked through the doors. Just the vastness of the space that was inside of it, the intricacies of all the different carvings that were in the stone, these biblical stories that were inscribed in the walls and in the architecture of the buildings and the stained glass windows. If you look this morning, you can kind of see some of the colors on the floor and how it kind of sparkles, and just these huge stained glass windows in these places and the marble floors, and it just all seemed to have you want to look up. Sitting in one of the more famous ones in Barcelona, the Sagrada Familia, made by or originally designed by Gaudi, but now it's been added on to, and they're still building it after a couple hundred years of construction. And to be in that place, we sat down in the pews just for probably 10, 20 minutes. And we took in just the beauty of that place. And it was sunny that day, so the light was coming in through the stained glass windows just right. And it made me think about what heaven might look like. Just the beauty in that place draws you into almost a different spiritual place. It transcends this life and brings you into a place where you want to worship and praise Jesus for all that he's done for us. The beauty in these buildings helps to bring us and worship God. But also, I couldn't help to think in some of those moments as we were walking around these buildings after hundreds of years of construction on these buildings, how many hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars or maybe even reaching the billions of dollars. That's a lot of money to spend on a building, to worship. A lot of money that probably could have spent in other places. Maybe it didn't have to be quite so big or quite so intricate in the carvings, or maybe you didn't need quite as much stained glass. But there's always something that you can use your time and resources or money in. And sometimes it's hard for us to figure out where to place that. Who do we give our time, our effort, our money to? I think this passage today at least gives us good questions to answer as we're trying to make some of those decisions on how to worship God, how to do it right, but also how do we help those in need. Our passage this morning begins by John saying that it's 6 days before Passover. 6 days before that meal that Jesus would be gathered together with his disciples in the upper room, where he would break bread with them and pour out the cup and explain to them what he was going to do the next night. He was just a week away from offering up himself as a sacrifice for us and for our salvation. John wants us to be thinking ahead at what Jesus was about to do. If you remember from last week, Bethany is right outside of Jerusalem, probably just 2 miles away. It's a close city, and he's probably getting ready that next morning after this meal to have that triumphal entry that we celebrate on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem for the final hours of his life. And John says that he's having a meal with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. This is also right after the sermon that we had last week where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead and shows that he is the resurrection and the life. What do you do for somebody who's raised you from the dead? What do you do for somebody who's raised your brother from the dead? It's probably hard for us to imagine a gift that would be right in that moment to give back to somebody who has given us new life. But Martha, being Martha, thought, hey, I'll throw him a meal and cook this meal for Jesus as a sign of my thanksgiving for what he's done for my brother Lazarus. And Lazarus invited him into his home and broke bread with him as a way of possibly saying, at least in a small way, that he was thankful for what Jesus had done for him. Martha cooked this meal. Lazarus invited him into the home for this meal and was reclining at the table with him. There was probably many other people from the town of Bethany there to hear and to see Jesus, this guy who just probably days before had risen Lazarus from the dead. As they're reclining around the table, Martha serving the meal, Mary wonders what to do. How do I respond in gratitude for the life that Jesus has given to my brother? And our passage says that she took a jar of pure nard, an expensive perfume, a perfume that would have been worth a year's wages. She goes up to Jesus as they're reclining at the table, as they're eating this meal. The way that they ate was they kind of laid on their side with a pillow propping them up and eating off the table with their hands. So Mary goes behind Jesus, pours this expensive nard all over his feet, and starts to wipe her hair on his feet. Today, that sounds pretty odd, but back then, it would have been shocking for everyone around them to see this act. Men and women didn't touch at all. If you were spouses, you only did when you were home alone with each other. So for this unmarried woman to be touching an unmarried man, even a rabbi, would have been scandalous. But then having it be her hair, something that was kept up and mostly hidden, to have that come down would be like wearing a revealing skirt or something. It would have been scandalous, and everyone would have paused and probably with a bit of shock, not knowing what to do. But they probably just stared as Mary took that jar of nard, poured it over Jesus' feet. The smell of the perfume filling the room, taking over whatever good smells of the food that Martha had prepared, just overwhelmed it. Entire jar of perfume poured out on Jesus. His disciples looking, not knowing how to handle this awkward situation that they're in. Judas speaks and says, "Well, that was kind of a waste. You have this expensive perfume that was worth a year's wages. We could have spent that in a better way than pouring it out on Jesus. Think about all the poor people around. We could have fed them for months on this gift." Bethany actually means the house of the poor. So there was probably a lot of people in need around them, and Judas trying to be practical. But we also hear from John that in his practicality, he maybe had other motives in that as well. Says that Judas was the one who kind of took care of the money as Jesus was going around preaching and teaching, and he takes some of that money for himself. So he's seeing this gift of a year's wages being poured out on Jesus and saying, "Hey, we could have used a lot of it for the poor, but I could have taken a little bit of that too, maybe." I wonder what we would think if we were in that room having that meal with Jesus and Mary walks into the room and pours out a perfume that's worth an entire year's wages. I looked up what nard is worth today, and for a good jar of nard, just for an ounce, it's still $25 today. So not as expensive as it was back in Jesus' day, but still a pretty expensive perfume. But just think if that perfume was worth $50,000, $60,000, kind of the average salary today. I think we'd all be in a bit of shock if we saw that being poured out on Jesus. I think a lot of us would go to the practical implications of it, maybe a bit like Judas. We don't like to be placed in Judas's spot, but think about it. Most of us are pretty practical people. We use our money pretty wisely, and This is an extravagant gift that I don't think any of us have probably given that amount to someone in our lives, at least at one point in time, for a few moments that perfume would have been poured out on Jesus's feet. We'd probably be thinking about different ways that we could spend that money. Well, half of it could go to the poor, half of it could go for the building and maintenance of the church. Just think like a good deacon. What would a deacon do in this situation? They'd probably make sure that it was spent well and that the money went to the various different ministries that the church had, and it'd be a gift that could be spent well. It could help people for a year or two, maybe. Cover this month's rent for this person and this person's water bill, and we'll be good. We're doing the ministry and the work of the church, aren't we? You can kind of understand where Judas is coming from in this moment, and I know a lot of times we kind of throw him under the bus for this comment, and we maybe ourselves have used this comment before that, well, the poor will always be among us, so do I need to always give $5 when I see someone on the side of the street in need of food? Because that problem will always be there. There's no solution for it, so we kind of throw our hands up and say, well, what am I supposed to do? This is bigger than what I can figure out. It is true that the poor will always be among us. And this passage is sometimes used as a way for us to feel better about not helping those in need. But that's not the point that John is trying to make in this passage. His point is, what does it mean to worship Jesus rightly? How do we respond to this wonderful gift that Jesus has given to us of new life? He lifts Mary up in this moment as the example of what a disciple should be in response to the great gift that Jesus has given her in raising her brother from the dead. Jesus doesn't respond to Mary like Judas does, saying, well, that was a waste. That was unnecessary. But Jesus allows her to worship him in a way that she felt fit for someone who had just given her brother an opportunity at life again. Martha offered up this meal. Lazarus welcomed Jesus into his home to share this meal with him as a sign of gratitude. And Mary gave this jar of expensive perfume as an offering, as a worship, in gratitude for what Jesus had done for her. Maybe Mary had that jar of nard because she was going to use it on Lazarus just a few days before to cover up that smell of death that she was worried about as Jesus was going to roll that stone away and call Lazarus out. Just like Mary and the others the day after Jesus, or on Easter morning, were taking those spices and perfumes to Jesus' temple to cover up those smells of death. Perhaps Mary had bought this perfume to cover Lazarus in it so that smell of death wouldn't be around him. But she didn't need to use it in that matter anymore because Jesus has risen her brother up from the dead. So she doesn't know what to do with it at this point. But she thinks, well, I don't need it for my brother anymore. Maybe I'll give it as a gift of gratitude to the one who raised him. because Lazarus didn't need it. She gave it to the one who gave him new life. A pretty fitting way of honoring the gift that was given to her. This extravagant gift begins to make a bit more sense in that way. There's a sentence here that's hard to translate. And it's how Jesus responds to Mary. He says it's at least translated this way in the NIV. Gotta find my place here. Jesus replied, "It was intended that she should have saved this perfume for the day of my burial." That sentence is a bit hard to translate, and we don't know if it there's ambiguity, as if it was given now as a way to prepare his body for burial, or if Mary was actually supposed to save it for that week and then give it to him when he died, but yet Mary didn't know that he was going to die yet. Maybe John leaves it a little ambiguous in the text, because it has a bit of both of those meanings to it. That yes, Mary unknowingly is preparing Jesus for the tomb because she doesn't know what's going to have to happen next. The only thing she knows is that there's this plot against Jesus because of what he had done for her brother, that the Jewish authorities were pretty upset about Jesus at this point. And the end of our text even says that not only was there a plot to kill Jesus, there was also a plot to kill Lazarus as well, because he's a pretty good example that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who has the power over life and death. But Mary doesn't know what's ahead for Jesus, but just offers up this gift of perfume to him. This story is told in some of the other Gospels, and they tell it a little bit different way. And if we take Mark and read it with John, Mark says that she poured the perfume all over Jesus's body. This expensive, fragrant perfume all over Jesus's body. It was hard to wash off. It was probably something that for the next week as he went around, you could smell the perfume on him and he could smell it and be reminded about this gift that Mary had given to him, that unknowingly she had prepared him for the tomb, for the sacrifice that he was going to make just 6 days later. Perhaps Jesus smelled the perfume as he made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Perhaps he smelled that perfume as he was tossing the tables in the temple. Perhaps Jesus smelled that perfume as he met with his disciples in the upper room, as he told them about the sacrifice he was about to make. Perhaps Jesus smelled that perfume as he was being whipped, the crown of thorn being placed on his head, as his hands were nailed into the cross. Maybe Jesus could smell that perfume as he took his final breath and said, "It is finished." Maybe Jesus could smell Mary's perfume. Mary, unknowingly, in this step of faith that she took in offering up this gift of gratitude, perhaps help Jesus take those steps towards the cross. Mary gives this gift in gratitude for what Jesus had done for Lazarus. And as we stand on the other side of the cross, Jesus, having given this gift of his own life for us, for our salvation, that just as Lazarus was raised to life, we are raised to new life in Christ. How are we to offer a gift that has any meaning to Jesus for what he's done for us? We have the gift of new life because of Christ, and what gift do we offer in return? A year's worth of our salary given in perfume doesn't seem quite worthy. A meal, a banquet, doesn't seem quite worthy either, does it? What Jesus asks in return for the gift that he has given us is that we have faith in him, in that work. That we in turn give ourselves to him as living sacrifices, our whole being as a gift of gratitude in response for what he has done for us. To live our life in light of what Christ has done for us. So what does that mean practically for us? How do we offer ourselves as a worthy gift for what Christ has given to us? Well, it means living our life in a way that's pleasing to him. That's, as a pastor, that I would do my best each day to look at God's word and to hear from it and to grow into it and to be able to preach it well, to minister to the people that God has given me in this congregation. If you're a grandma or a great-grandma, that means that as you interact with your grandchildren, that you show them what Christ's love is like, an unconditional, never-ending love for them, and that you point them to Christ and what he's done for you and to live an example in their life of who Jesus is. If you're a farmer, then it means taking care of the creation that God has entrusted you with, using the land well, the resources given to you well, and when the opportunity presents itself, to be kind to others, to do as Christ would do in those situations. As Jesus preached that Sermon on the Mount, it's these kind of ideas that we can live into as we try to live out a life of gratitude for this gift that's been given to us. And sometimes it might mean giving ostentatious gifts like Mary did. Maybe it means it's okay to have these places of worship that lead us into a place where we can honor God in at least a very minute way as we offer ourselves back to him. This passage is one about how do we respond to this gift that Christ has given to us. And Mary is the example, disciple, of what that means. To give without worrying, to give without thinking about what the cost would be, but giving in response to the great gift that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example that Mary is for us. that in response to this new life that you've given, that we may offer a gift, a sacrifice in response to it. And God, as you have pointed to in your scripture, the only right response to the gift that we've been given in Christ Jesus through his death and resurrection is faith in you, and that we might offer ourselves as living sacrifices. May we, in whatever calling we have in this life, be able to live every moment in response to the grace that we've been given in Christ Jesus. May we take every opportunity that you have given to us to live as Christ would live, to point others to Christ. And it's in Christ's name that we pray.